coming Friday, November 22nd, and Saturday, November 23rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 11 in the morning Central Time on November the 22nd through 11 in the morning Central on November 23rd. Issues Etc. 24. Friday, November 22nd, and Saturday, November 23rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
I'm defining happiness as productive, interested, engaged with the world, and having a good time doing it.
A little excerpt from our recent interview with P.Z. Myers, author of the book, The Happy Atheist. Now, it's one thing for atheists to write books. They've been writing books for a long time. Some of them, like P.Z. Myers, poke fun at Christianity. Some of them take, or at least attempt to take, a serious apologetic against Christianity. I wonder what's going on when I see a headline like Atheist Mega Churches, which sounds like a contradiction in terms, take root across the U.S. and the world. And the AP story talks about, I don't know what to call them, congregations of atheists, sometimes meeting on Sunday morning to do what a lot of Christians do, or at least think they're doing, on a Sunday morning when they come to worship the triune God. But the atheists not only reject the triune God, they reject the concept of God entirely. So what's going on? Joining us to talk about atheist megachurches on this Wednesday afternoon, Craig Parton, trial lawyer in Santa Barbara, California, United States Director for the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he's author of several books, including Religion on Trial. Craig, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Pleasure to be here.
And you're dealing with atheists over the long years here, Craig. Can you answer this question? What would attract an atheist to a Sunday morning gathering that looks for all the world like a church service?
Well, I think what's gone on, Todd, is a reaction to what I call the hard-boiled atheism of Dawkins, Harris, and that troop the last decade or so has really had an edge to it that I think even atheists have been uncomfortable with. I think it's a destructive, take-no-prisoners kind of approach to atheism. Everyone who's not an atheist is an idiot. Christianity's destructive and harmful. And I think there's a growing group of people who consider themselves, quote, irreligious or atheists, who look around and look on what's going on Sunday mornings at most churches and see things that are pretty attractive to them, which is, you know, the music, the fellowship, the message, helping people, social justice. I'm afraid the messages of a lot of Christian churches having very little to do with the gospel and the administration of the sacraments is a perfect setup for atheists to say, you know, we could do the same thing, meet people, have some fellowship. It's a lonely world out there being an atheist. And have some music that we like, hear a talk that's kind of motivational about why we believe or don't believe what we don't believe. And it ain't a bad thing to help people every once in a while, too. So why not? What's there not to like about it?
So there's kind of a two-edged sword going on here, it sounds like you're saying. There are many, many atheists who are not the hard-boiled kind, to use your term, who are, in fact, probably comfortable with an idea of transcendence, although consistently they shouldn't be.
Right.
Transcendence, not a deity, but transcendence. And so this attracts them. But also, what they see from the outside looking in Pop American Christianity, they basically kind of draw the right conclusion. You don't need God to have a good time on Sunday morning.
Oh, I think it's a theological indictment of the church that most Christian churches today, if you look at it, don't do anything different than what the atheist church is doing. There's wonderful music, there's uplifting fellowship, there's motivational messages, there's some talk about helping other people, social justice, and you go home. And I think atheists look at that and say, we can do that too, have maybe a little different motivational message, and we can draw 600 people with social media outreach in one effort. And I think it's really telling that so many churches in the Christian landscape today in our country are really defenseless to this. They're not offering anything unique about why somebody should get out of bed on Sunday to come and hear them. And as a result, you have even atheists saying, look, we can peel off all the things that are appealing about a church. You don't even have to believe in God to do this.
So I take it you're not surprised.
I am not surprised at all, and I think it's an excellent opportunity for churches to step back and say, what exactly is a church? Would the Christian church have that discussion? What is a church? It isn't the music. It isn't even the fellowship. It isn't even a motivational speaker. It isn't helping one another. All these things can be good and part of a proper Christian biblical worship service, but at its center, it's none of those things. It's two things central, and if you don't have them, I don't care what you're doing, you don't have a church, and that's the proper preaching of the gospel and the right administration of the sacraments according to the gospel.
So whether you've got a signboard outside with the big dove on it, or even a cross, or some kind of a denominational logo, what makes the church is, in fact, what God is doing in there.
That's right. That's right. What's being delivered to you? A lot of people go to church for a lot of weird reasons, and I've kind of wondered about that. But frankly, for me, I go to have my sins forgiven. If that ain't happening, then sayonara, I'm not there. I want it announced to me. I want it applied to me in the waters of baptism and in Holy Communion. I want it in my ears. That's what I want to hear. And that's the sign that you're around the Christian church where the offense of the cross is preached and applied to us at the altar and at the baptismal font.
Now, see, that's the thing I think you've touched upon it here intentionally so obviously, that the offense of the cross is what has been long ago left out of Sunday morning for much of pop American Christianity. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true, and for the best of intentions, you know, people, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. Oh, if we do that immediately, we'll turn people off, so we'll bring them in with some nice music and fellowship activities, and we'll get the cross of Christ to them eventually. Never works that way. I went in a lot of non-denominational settings for most of my life and in a non-denominational Christian missionary organization for a long time. And the fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit uses the foolishness of the preaching of the cross. And the foolishness is that we can't save ourselves by our good works. It's so innate to us that you get what you deserve. God grades on a curve. I'm a B-minus, sometimes C-plus, but that's good enough to grab into the heavens that I'm looking for. And then comes this completely aberrant message that says, you know, all of that merits hell. All of it merits separation from God. And actually, he's done the entire rescue for you. That's the good news.
Let's talk about the various, for lack of a better word, grades of atheists. You implied it earlier in our conversation that you do have your kind of more militant, hard-boiled atheists like the Dawkins.
Yeah.
And then you have your garden variety atheists. How would you distinguish between the two?
Well, I think it's a matter of the hard-boiled isn't interested in evidence that might refute their position. And I think, unfortunately, even Christians can be in this position. They appear to be immune to any evidence and any arguments that might be contrary to their position. And all we're looking for is a Paul on Mars Hill situation where some thought he was crazy when he mentioned the resurrection and foolish and went their way, but a few others listened, and some, a couple, Dionysius the Areopagite and Damaris and a few others like that, listened, believed, and the church in Athens began that way. And that, to me, is the distinction between a hard-boiled, don't bother me with evidence, I'm an atheist, don't bother me about trying to deal with my worldview in any kind of sensitive way, I believe it in spite of the evidence, and what I consider more rational atheism, the kind that you can sit next to and talk about and say, you know, we have different views of the essence of the universe and what the human condition and the answer to the human condition is, but we can have a reasoned discussion and do it in the best of circumstances. In fact, a couple of years ago in Strasbourg at our Academy of Apologetics, we had an atheist come to the academy, and he was what I would call the non-hard-boiled atheist. The reason he came to the Academy, he said, you know, I looked far and wide for the best arguments against atheism and the best arguments for Christianity, and I concluded they were taught here, and if I could deal with those arguments here, I can deal with them anywhere. And he engaged. He wasn't disruptive. He didn't scream and yell. He asked probing questions. He went to dinners with us. We were out late talking. That's the kind of different atheism than the everyone's an idiot who doesn't believe what I believe.
Do you think most self-professed atheists are of that, or at least by default of that category, and not in the Richard Dawkins category?
I think by necessarily that's the case, Todd. I think most people are not walking around expressing their atheism evangelically. They're more irreligious, the kind of people that really don't know what to believe, so they think they believe nothing at all. They have a vague evolutionary theology of some type, and that's it. I think it's absolutely the case. Most that I run into today can't articulate their reasons for atheism other than some generalities, and are open to further discussion when you present the affirmative case for Christianity, which is a kind of an apologetical point of this this discussion, that it's not enough when talking to atheists to simply know the arguments against atheism and to refute atheism, but I think the more effective approach is to spend very little time refuting atheism and a very much amount of time establishing the affirmative evidence that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, the historical evidential focus that ought to be there in any solid apologetic. Because it's not enough to simply disprove atheism. That doesn't establish Christianity.
Craig Parton is our guest. We're talking about atheist megachurches. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about agnosticism. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Coming Friday, November 22nd, and Saturday, November 23rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 11 in the morning Central Time on November the 22nd through 11 in the morning Central on November 23rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 22nd, and Saturday, November 23rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Measure our pain, yeah. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd. We'll contend more minutes talking about atheist megachurches and atheism with Craig Parton. He's United States Director for the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Craig, you mentioned it a minute ago, but tell us a little bit more about the Academy.
Yeah, the Academy is a two-week advanced seminar in apologetics for all ages, laymen to pastors. We've had everything from a housewife in Jamaica to a brain surgeon in Singapore to seminary students from Fort Wayne join us. 20 people come to Strasbourg, France every year. They should go to apologeticsacademy.eu for Europe. We have 10 subject areas that we teach in during the time. It's an intensive time. You've been there, Todd, teaching for us there before. A number of other very prominent defenders of the faith. And this year we've got Angus Manouge, who I suspect you've had on the program before, very strong in both C.S. Lewis and in scientific apologetics, and Steve Hine of the Concordia Institute, teaching on biblical authority, world religions, cult sects, that kind of thing. So we cover the gamut of the objections that secularists raise to the Christian faith and provide where those answers, the best answers for those kinds of attacks have come. So it's a wonderful time. Classes are all in English. Cuisine is in French. teaching is in English, the way it should be. As you know, Todd, it's a great time for people to get questions that they have answered, get better equipped in it, because we find more and more that oftentimes theological training, church training, seminary training is devoid of any serious preparation in apologetics, and people come out into the parish, into the life, into their vocation, their occupation, and find that these objections to secularism are everywhere and are not equipped to deal with them. So it doesn't take any advanced knowledge or training. We do provide some reading lists for people to read before they come to the Academy, so they'll maximize the benefit and be able to ask the questions that are concerning to them in the area of apologetics. But we've had everything from seniors in high school to 85-year-old. We had one year an 85-year-old missionary with us, so everything in between.
And the food and the wine is completely awesome.
Yeah.
You can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. From the description that you gave me earlier of kind of that garden variety atheist, I wonder, in your experience in dealing with atheists of that category, how many of them end up being really agnostics?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think the categories in many ways get blurred because an agnostic isn't certain exactly whether there's a God or not, and it's probably it defines somebody more open to discussion. But the categories, I think, blur oftentimes, and you'll find out that someone who says, "I'm an atheist," really doesn't understand that they're really not in that camp. They're in the camp of they don't have evidence for why God exists, so they've kind of defaulted to unbelief. And so I, in essence, treat most people as agnostics until they prove otherwise. Not a lot of atheists walking around in light of some of the advances in intelligent design discoveries and things that are going on at that level. Most people have come to the conclusion there is some superior being, either for philosophical reasons, theological reasons, scientific reasons. They just have great questions about whether that being cares about them and whether they can know that being.
In your experience, does the average atheist, is he or she familiar with what the central truth claims of Christianity are?
Well, I think you should assume the answer is no. I don't think atheists are much different than the general culture, which if you ask the average person what Christianity is about, it's about what the central tenets of the atheistic church in your article live by, which is live better, help often, wonder more. That could be on the marquee of most churches of what they present on Sunday. And if you ask them what's Christianity about, it's about helping other people and being a better person. I mean, that's the general default. You won't get a lot of people, atheists and agnostics, articulating the central core of Christianity, which is God becoming man, living a perfect life, dying an atoning death for the sins of the world, and rising again on the third day for a justification.
How much have you talked about these atheist megachurches being in part reaction against the hard-boiled atheism of kind of the principal authors of the new atheist movement?
Yeah.
How much do you think that has, other than the reaction that we're seeing here, how much of that has, for lack of a better word, strengthened the atheist position, or maybe to even use a little English parlance, made a few converts? Proselytes to atheism.
Yeah, I think that it's had its impact, certainly in academia, and that there's certain credibility that goes with people wanting to associate with someone from Oxford, Cambridge, the major academic institutions in the country that have avowed atheist intellectuals and spokespersons on their behalf. That always has an impact for people in academia. So I think it certainly has, and they're able to publish. They're able to be very adroit public speakers and debaters, and you don't find a lot of capable Christian advocates that can take on these people and are willing to do so. I mean, we certainly have a stable of them, but it's the same war horses that we've been trotting out for a long time. And the church has become, because it's degenerated into moralism and a better life and social justice, it has less and less ability to take on these hard-nosed atheists and deal with the arguments. I was at a party, in fact, Saturday night, and the discussion was by a couple of Christian people in a group of people announcing what they thought Christianity was, and they were very satisfied with the answer. And these are solid churchgoers, and I simply couldn't. I had to announce to this group of unbelievers, that's very interesting, but that has nothing to do with the essence of Christianity. It was all moralism, better life, helping others, feeling better. It was a whole panoply of things, but it wasn't the cross of Christ in the center of it. I mean, certainly Christians didn't suffer martyrdom for what these ladies were presenting as Christianity at a party on Saturday night.
Why do you think that the more militant atheists, at least from my perspective, and maybe I am wrong on this, but it seems as though they have a special animus toward Christianity that they don't hold even toward things like Islam or Judaism, certainly not the same kind of animus held toward stuff like Buddhism and Hinduism.
Yeah, it's awfully hard to get mad at Buddhism. It doesn't require an awful lot. And Islam, you know, is certainly in a lot of circles, is while it has its obvious theological and other problems in it, the fact is that Christianity is the foundations of modern civilization, and it's that bring it all down on our head. It's not. I think there's some hubris in that whole process of atheism wanting to bring down the foundations of everything, to challenge that Christianity was the basis for the universities in the first place, for modern hospitals, for philanthropy in general, for the whole panoply of good works being done in the history of Western civilization. The foundations of it are Christianity, and atheism has not been able to replace that with any kind of sustainable, defensible, certainly not transcendent ethic to ground their good works, which is the irony of this atheistic church, which talks about helping others. If I'm an atheist, the good old atheism was, well, who cares? I mean, you're dust to disappear tomorrow. What do you care about helping others, especially others that are weaker? If you have an evolutionary Darwinian theory of the universe, these weak people deserve to perish off the face of the earth, for heaven's sake. That was the good old atheism, had some hard boiled to it. I think this new version seen in some of these atheistic churches is really the new, mellower, nicer atheism that says to people, you can be a really nice person, you can do your social justice, and you can still be a consistent atheist. You know, our adversary prowls around looking for the latest formulation of a position to take people in a completely different elevator shaft down to the bottom. And it always amazes me, the newest expressions of this, and it seems to me the new atheism is one of them.
With only 30 seconds here, which is more dangerous, the atheist megachurch or the Christian megachurch where Christ is not preached?
Oh, without any doubt, the Christian megachurch where Christ is not preached comes under further condemnation, certainly of New Testament scriptural injunctions, to give people the impression that there is a heaven, and the way to enter heaven is to merit it any other way other than Jesus Christ, whether it's merit of personal good works or social justice, is absolutely damnable. And it's certainly, I think, the bane of our society today. As you turn on the TV, you walk down the street, the chances of hearing the cross preached, the sacraments administered according to the gospel, are slim and getting slimmer.
Craig Parton is a trial lawyer in Santa Barbara, California, United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author of several books, including Religion on Trial. You can purchase Religion on Trial under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Thanks, Craig.
Okay, thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn about homosexuality. We'll continue our series on the Liturgy of Holy Matrimony. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. And we will find Christ in Malachi chapter 4, the great and terrible day of the Lord. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. I agree. I think it's more dangerous by far to be lulled into a sense of satisfaction that the God who cannot brook man's sinfulness can somehow be satisfied by your feeble efforts at self-improvement. That's more dangerous than a church where God isn't even part of the equation. At least those atheists say, fooey on God. The Christian tries to have his way with God. A Christian in that kind of a church tries to have his way with God on the basis of his own works. And nothing will send you to hell faster. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois. 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.